You miss me when, during my France trip?
Kind of.
I miss my Shovel Knight amiibo that I just met now because I shipped it to your place because I was gone. Look at him. He's so nice and handsome.
I'm glad you're happy to
you get to a have special it. Place next to my bed.
That's weird.
No, it's not.
No, it is.
Ah. You can shovel all night long.
He's still going.
Shoveling. It's all innuendo. Exploring Girl Podcast for February 4th, 2016. Correct. All right. Stuff went through it again in my head. Welcome back. You put out that witness episode we did, right?
Yeah.
So you didn't even miss a week while I was gone. That's nice.
Effectively, no.
That's nice. What episode number are we on?
We're getting close to 400.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, the problem is, like, it's that one's, like, not too kind of hard to get excited, because after that is, like, simultaneously 500, and, like, 500 is kind of close to, like, the 10-year anniversary also.
Yeah.
So yeah, welcome to our show. We're going to talk a little bit about Hearthstone, some of the changes coming to that game. And then the special zone will be maybe a little longer. I feel like our main topic may not be super long. Like, it'll be more evenly spread out because you played the Division beta.
Yep.
And there are some new Smash Bros. Characters that came out that we'll talk about. So, but yeah, let's get in. So basically, here's what's happening with Hearthstone. They're going to split off the main mode into two modes, Standard and Wild. Now, Wild Mode is basically what we had before. Standard Mode is, and this is apparently what Magic Gathering does, where once Standard Mode comes out, the first adventure and expansion that came out, Goblins and Gnomes and Noxoramus, will not be eligible anymore. You can't use those cards.
You can't even buy those cards.
No, you can't even buy those cards. You can craft them with dust, still, in case you want them for Wild. And then the idea is, like, every year, another expansion and adventure will kind of join the ineligibility list.
So basically anything older than 2 years, right?
Yeah. And the kind of idea is to this will kind of freshen up the meta. So like right now there's a problem with certain, like, Goblins and Gnomes, Noxoramus cards, like Dr. Boom, Piloted Shredder, Haunted Creeper, stuff like that, where they're almost auto-included in decks. They're just too good, and it's like you can't really nerf them necessarily, because then they're just not usable at all anymore. It's like that weird spot. But yeah, they're just so good, and they're not really situational. They're just, like, good on their own, and why not use these? So they get used in pretty much every deck. And the idea is that doing this kind of stuff will sort of freshen things up.
Well, it means not only can they, like, when they introduce a new mechanic and that better help move things forward, but they don't have to, like, every time new cards come out, like, oh god, how's this going to interact with some obscure card from Goblins and Gnomes that we didn't think about? And
right, and I think this is partly kind of a response to, I don't want to use the word flop, but the Grand Tournament, the second expansion, not a lot of those cards really made it into the meta,
or because they couldn't supplant the older stuff, right? That, like, Dr. Boom, Pilot.
And there's that, and there's, like, they try to instead, like, introduce new mechanics. Like, yeah, Joust and Inspire, and you don't see any of those pretty much.
Inspires you see sometimes, but Jousting.
I see Joust more than Inspire.
Really?
I barely see Inspire.
Well, you're in a higher level than me, I guess.
King Elec for Joust you'll see sometimes. That's, like, the Hunter card where you Joust, and if you, like, we joust with is higher than you draw it to. It's already a 3-2, a 2 or whatever. So, like, that's, like, the one jousting one I will see. But Inspire, like, so, like, there are some cards from that game that made it in that, like, work with hero powers. Just a card, True Heart, the 6-3 that improves your hero power. That's, like, very popular with warrior decks because it turns their hero power from 2 armor to 4. Which just eventually becomes, like, just, like, impossible to outpace almost.
Right.
So, I mean, there are cards from that, but not a whole lot, especially compared to, like, Goblins and Gnomes. So, yeah. My first reaction to this was actually pretty negative.
Yeah, you are not a fan.
Well, it's change, and my immediate reaction to change is usually negative, and then when I kind of think about it, I'm like, okay, this makes sense.
Well, it's a hard pill to swallow, because it means all these cards that you, in theory, spent money on are not gone, because you can still use them in other modes, but they're very much lessened.
They're much less. And I mean, I think a lot less, maybe even some people admit, I don't think Wild is going to be much of anything after pretty quickly. Because, I mean, that meta...
It's going to be very niche.
That meta is good. Because, like, they're going to design all these new cards starting now with the next expansion, whatever it is, to not work with these other cards. So, mm-hmm. like, it's going to be really unbalanced, right? That's why they even call it Wild. Because it's like, oh, it's, like, crazy wacky.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, Tavern Brawl.
You're going to see a lot of people just, like, dusting everything from ineligible...
oh, it's very likely, yeah, sure. So, like, if that's all you're playing, why not?
Right, exactly.
Because Standard is going to be for all the professional tournaments,
I
mean, and everything.
Part of it was just, like, I'm attached to certain cards, and I like them, and... Like, the Noxroth, like, the actual Kel'Thuzad card, it's, like, really cool, and it's, like, that's the one where... as long as he's alive, you bring back to life every card that died on your side that turn.
Mm-hmm.
And I always liked it, because it wasn't, like, an auto-include. It was, like, situational, but, like, in the right deck, it could be really cool. Like, cards like that, you know, I like, and will miss. And it's interesting, because there are still going to be some cards that will just always be there. So, like, the original base cards are always going
to
be
there. And it sounds like they're prepared to go back and revisit more of those.
Yeah.
More so than they would have in the past.
And which may be a good thing. So, for instance, like, Druid... Like, whenever you make a Druid deck, it's, like, almost 80% class cards. Like, the Druid class cards are just very good in combo-y and stuff like that. So, yeah, there's definitely some things they're going to have to do. It'll be kind of good to see some more sweeping changes.
Well, Arena mode is still going to use everything.
Yeah.
So that's good.
I never really play Arena.
Arena's honestly what I play the most of, probably, same. In that game.
But, yeah, it's going to... be interesting to see how this all works out. I do wonder, like, is there any, like, chance of, like, some cards getting promoted to the base set? Like, right now, like, Reno Jackson, right? He's this card from the newest adventure that, like, basically has opened up, like, twice as many deck possibilities. Because the whole thing is, if you use only one of every card, if you play Reno Jackson, it'll restore all your health. So you have, like, Reno decks everywhere now. So what happens when that card is ineligible? Do you just make a new card that basically kind of has the same flavor text? Is that what we're going to see a lot of, you think?
When it comes to real-world CCGs, I've not played a ton of Magic, but my best frame of reference is Pokemon cards, I guess. And, you know, there were multiple variants of Charizard, and there were multiple variants of Blastoise.
Like, yeah, I do, but that's my thing, though. It's like, because before, they almost had to try too hard to, like, keep trying to make new things. I wonder now, it's like, well, this card is gone from Gombos and we make something that's kind of like it.
Yeah, or, you know, you bring back Dr. Boom, the character, but it's a completely different card.
Right, yeah. Lieutenant Surge is Dr. Boom.
I forgot about that.
Yeah,
that was dumb.
But that was also kind of when Pokemon cards lost me, to be honest.
Well, no, they were losing you because it wasn't just a new Raichu. It was Lieutenant Surge's Raichu, which was different from the other Raichus. And
yeah,
like,
I think maybe that was a problem. I do think that they don't necessarily have to, like, repeat characters, at least at first, because there's so many. And they can also just keep inventing them.
Right. I mean, that's what Magic does. It's just always new shit coming.
Right. And I didn't really know this is what Magic does, and now it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, once you
kind of
wonder. Like, this is ridiculous. They can't do this. Oh.
Right.
It works already. Okay, cool.
Yeah. But yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see that first expansion and what it looks like. The other kind of thing about this that I like that I was thinking about is this makes the idea of eventually introducing new classes actually possible. Whereas before, it was like there'd be so many cards to catch up with, it would basically be impossible. Because they've been introducing so many extra class cards all this time. It's like you would have to make so many cards just to get that new class started. And how do people, like, potentially earn them? Stuff like that. Now it's, like, a possibility.
Right. Well, and by that same token, just for a new player, and they've talked about this a lot, I think it helps.
I think that's the main motivation, is if you want to get into Hearthstone right now and, like, compete, like be able to, like, get up to rank 10, you would need to, first off, buy all the adventures, which is...
three of them. They're $20 each.
That's, like, $60 right there. Let's say buy at least 50 packs of the two expansions. So, I don't know. It would cost hundreds of dollars, let's just say that.
Yeah, just to get... I mean,
and, like, maybe you can
grind it all for free, but that would take even longer.
Oh, I mean, you'll get some for free. The ones you get for free are just kind of gimmies.
Well, I mean, like, you get gold to buy packs and adventures.
Yeah, yeah. So... Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, I play the game a lot. There's still a lot of cards I don't have. And it is kind of the other thing now. Is like right now, if I'm buying packs right now, I'm going to buy basic packs. Because there's still, like, legendaries and stuff I don't have from that that are, like, kind of good.
Yeah.
Whereas,
you're
like,
not going to buy Goblins
and Gnomes. But even, like, anymore. But even Grand Tournament, it's like, well, in another year, maybe that, you know. But that doesn't even Grand Tournament, it's like a whole separate case. There's not even that much from it that, like, what would I even need at this point?
I wonder if, like, if what'll end up happening is they may sell fewer packs to individuals, but they'll get more people in, and that kind of
I do wonder, because the biggest backlash seems to be the idea is, like, you can't even buy Goblins versus Gnomes. Because, I mean, I doubt they're very sincere about WoW being anything except just, like, a Band-Aid or, like, a little here, like, here, and see, it's okay.
Wild. You keep saying, like, WoW, and it sounds like you're saying WoW.
Wild. 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 But, I mean, the fact that they're not even selling cards anymore is kind of, like, the indicator to me that they're really not playing to support.
Well, and they don't want to confuse people, and I think it's weird that the adventures go away, because, I mean, even...
Yeah,
because
those are kind of fun.
Yeah, like you know, change the reward out, of, like, for dust or something, maybe.
I think the adventures are going to come back in
They'll figure that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think just giving you, like, the equivalent dust for those cards, and then you craft what you want.
They need to figure out so that it's not, like, confusing to people who buy it and earn those cards, and then they can't use it in standard, and they're like, well, what the heck?
Well, you won't be able to buy the adventures.
That's what I'm saying, if they could. Oh, that's what I'm saying. That's why they're afraid of it. Yeah, so... Yeah, I guess it's going to be, like... It will be good to see things shaken up a bit. Like Secret Paladin is going crazy right now. It's good to know eventually that just can't be a thing, because that one card that allows it will be gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, so it is nice to know that, like, in a couple years, the meta will be completely... Like, every year, the meta will be completely different.
It fixes... Because, like, now when they make new cards, they, like, if they weren't better than the old ones, no one's going to use
them. That's what, power creep is what they were always worried about.
Right, so now you just get rid of that entirely. Like, I think it makes perfect sense.
No, it does. It does. At first, I was kind of against it. I mean, it's not a perfect solution, but there probably isn't a perfect solution to the way these things are. It's kind of like, you know, you're a victim of your own success. You got to keep making new cards. Like, you can't, like, grow stale, you know?
Right.
But, yeah, I'm very interested to see what, like, that next expansion looks like now.
Which I feel like we should be close to getting if they made all these announcements, right?
It'll be coming soonish. Usually it's kind of more spring, I think.
Okay, like April.
Yeah, I'm trying to think when the other one's good. Because I think it's one a year. Because, yeah, Goblin's Gnome was 2014, right? Like, later. And then, I don't even know.
Yeah.
I don't even know. But, yeah, I mean... If, the last one's already beginning to feel like it happened, like, relatively a while ago, even though it didn't.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm so used to, like, Reno decks and stuff. I think that was a very successful introduction of new cards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because the Discover mechanic seems to be much more popular than Jousting or the other ones. The legendaries in it were cool. Yeah. Except for Rafim. You don't really see him in much of anything. But, like, you know, like... Merlington, you know, discover a new hero power. That's neat. The Elise Star, what a Seeker one. That's like the golden monkey thing, which, like, I've seen used maybe a couple times. Like, it's actually not really that good, but it's, like, fun. You know,
more fun than
I'm gonna miss the fairy, and that's such a fun card.
Hmm.
I just love his, like, entrance stuff. But again, maybe there'll be new different things. So It'll be interesting. I'm glad they're clearly thinking about the problem.
Right.
All right. You guys like the Division? Because this beta happened while I was gone.
Okay, so I played it on PC and Xbox One. I was able to get into both.
Did it look much better on the PC? Yeah.
Well, I mean, I could run it at 60 frames.
Did it look, like, as good as, like, those original, like...
No. Not as bad as, like, Watch Dogs or...
Oh, Watch Dogs was weird.
Any other Ubisoft game that's had a bullshit review or reveal like that.
Yeah.
It's pretty close. It basically, you're losing a lot of, like, the density of, like, trash in the environment.
Right.
So that was about it. My overall impression was positive, but what I'm trying to keep in check, and what I feel like might actually hurt this game in a weird way, is we all love the shit out of the Destiny beta.
Yeah.
And we're like, well, where's this going? And the answer was kind of nowhere.
Right.
And I'm worried that's the case here. So, I mean, the game is very... cut from the same cloth of Destiny. Multiplayer shooter with loot, kind of an MMO, kind of not.
Yeah.
The big difference is it's open world, so it's not like Destiny where you're flying the planet to planet, like it's just New York. Third person with a really good cover mechanic. It's kind of like Gears, But, like, what it is when you're snapped to cover and you start looking around the environment, you see the A button snap to the next piece of cover you can hit.
Yeah.
You push and hold down A, and you just take the shortest route to it.
So almost kind of, this sounds, what, someone else did something that was that Deus Ex or something? I can't remember.
I don't know.
Someone else did something.
It worked very well, because it's cool. Like, you know, sometimes maybe you'll leap over the car you're behind. Other times, you'll run around this wall. And
yeah.
That worked. When you're doing the regular game, if I understood it right, because I feel like the first hour of the game was skipped in this beta.
Yeah, like, yeah. They kind of drop you in a little bit. Sure, they don't want
to.
Yeah.
So it seems like the one area is like kind of like a hub. You see other players walking around there, going up to vendors and grouping up whatever. But as soon as you kind of get into the city, I never saw anybody else. I would see on mini maps where my friends were as they were playing, but I wouldn't like physically see them.
But now, is there like a class system or anything like that?
No, it's just an open skill system. So there's three main tracks of skills.
But they're just like people. What are your like skills? You're not like throwing
technology
electric
stuff.
Yeah, hammers.
So like, you know, like the healing, which is the only one they let you advance a skill in. The first skill is like a radar pulse, and then the second skill is a healing grenade. So you can either just drop it to heal yourself or throw it at people to heal them.
It's all much. It's okay.
So that was cool. And then your base, which is like when you go in it, like only you go in, even if you're grouped with other people, and you can upgrade and expand it. When you upgrade it, that's how you unlock perks to your skills. So think like, what were they called in Diablo? The little modifiers for your skills?
Oh.
That.
I know what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, so you were able to unlock in the beta the modifiers for the radar pulse. So it would mean, like, anyone who was scanned would take more damage from your shots, or you would double the range of your scan. So stuff like that. The problem is, like, the beta locked out most... You can only get four different perks.
Okay.
The other two were armor that I never even used and a grenade launcher. And so, like, I don't know how the skills are going to come to play in the game. There was a whole page of, like, perks and traits, and all of that was locked off. There's crafting. That was locked off.
What is, like, the mission, like, structure? Not necessarily, like, the actual missions, like, so it's just, like, is it like Destiny where there's missions and strikes and raids?
No. Well, what this game gave you one story mission where you went to Madison Square Garden, kind of worked your way through, cleared out, saved some doctors, fought a boss on the roof.
And was that, like, more engaging than, like, your vanilla Destiny mission?
It was on par.
It's kind of just, like, monster waves.
Now, the kind of more generic stuff you find out in the world is better than the generic stuff in Destiny.
Okay.
The ones I really like, they're, like, you go into a contaminated zone, and you have to find these virus scanners, activate them within the time limit, then get to an upload station, which is usually guarded, and upload it all before the time runs out. That was cool.
Like public quests, kind of.
Well, yes, except, again, there's no one else there unless you're grouped with them. So, like, it was all fine. It's just, like, you know, it's real world, so, like, how interesting can the guns possibly get, and what's the enemy variety going to be like?
That was kind of my big theory. Is just whenever I saw the game, it looked kind of dry.
Well, there's something refreshing about, like, your loot being, like, you know, a new pair of jeans that just kind of look like jeans a guy would wear.
That's not necessarily what I mean. It's not like the real world setting, but just very, like, I don't know. Like, it didn't seem like, you know, it wasn't like fun or like
it's
energetic.
It's not very fun.
No.
But, like, it's not a fun world.
But I also didn't know if it was like very dramatic either or like melancholy.
Well, here's where the dramatic comes in, and that's the Dark Zone. This is what will make this game worth playing, I think. So this is like the open PvP area.
Okay.
Basically, the center of Manhattan is the Dark Zone. So you can always get into it from all the different sides of the map. Once you're in there, that's when you actually see other players. And it is technically friendly fire turned on everywhere you go. There are, like, AI guys to fight. It wasn't really structured. You just would come upon groups of AI. At any point, someone could shoot you. But as soon as they took a shot at you, they became marked as hostile and would show up on everybody's map, and they now have a bounty on their head. And when you die with the bounty on you, you lose more
credits.
You get like a separate level for the Dark Zone.
Okay.
So you would lose more of that. You potentially lose more gear. So it's not like...
Can you lose equipped gear?
No, not equipped. So anything you loot in the Dark Zone, it's tainted, or whatever they call it. So you have to extract it. So you go to these extract points, and you basically shoot a flare into the sky so everyone can see it. And then it takes a minute and a half for a helicopter to show up. Then once it's there, you got to walk up to it very slowly, take your pack up, string it onto the thing, and let it go. So it creates these great tense moments where there's like 10 people waiting around in a drop zone. Everyone's just kind of like looking around. Damn. What's that guy doing over there? Why is that guy in a watchtower? Oh, God. And then like the helicopter comes. You're like, okay, no one's shooting. Quick, let's go hit the button. And then like you're trying to load your thing and maybe some guy decides to be an asshole and takes a shot at you. And then...
Does so the kid is getting shot at immediately interrupt it?
No. Okay. You just have to not die. Okay. But if you go down, then anyone can who's friendly will revive you if they want to, you know, if you're in your team or whatever. Okay. So then you get these situations where now, okay, these three guys shot at us. Fuck those guys. Let's get them. And everyone around will just kind of form, like, as Jeff Grubb called it while we were playing, a lynch mob. Yeah. And go after these That's people. So it's a little harder to do when you're by yourself. It's much more comfortable when you're with a friend or two.
Yeah.
Because you got some backup built in.
Do you think maybe even more so than Destiny, this is going to require multiple people to play with to really get
it? I don't know how essential the Dark Zone is to, like, progressing in the game itself.
Well, that's like, kind of a separate issue.
Like, that's where you get the best gear, but I assume
that
gear...
Because that's what it always, like, World of Warcraft stuff does, where it's, like, your PvP and PvE progressions are separate. And
yeah.
Your PvP gears, I never really like that.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be... Is there, like, a different PvP? Is there also, like, just, like, Destiny, like, Crucible? No.
No, it's like you just go in there and mix it up. If someone who has gone rogue gets enough kills, they become a high target or high-value target... Where they're just lit up on your map or wherever you are, like they're a mission.
Yeah, okay.
So it was actually funny. There was a group of guys who they went rogue, shooting at Jeff and I. The one guy, this is kind of fun actually. The game does have like actual like open world voice chat.
Yeah.
So I'm like doing the thing where I'm in the down state and this guy comes up to me. Ironically, I can't remember his name, but he looked at me and said, "Hey, Edge guy, remember my name?" Then he like killed me. And I was like, "You son of a bitch!"
Oh my god!
So Jeff and I respawn, and of course we're like, "I gotta get this fucker." Well, by this point, they became high value, and there's like a dozen people chasing after four guys.
That's funny.
And if you can lay low enough, your timer runs out, and you stop being rogue, right? So they're trying to do that at this point because they realize they're screwed.
See, like that stuff sounds really neat.
Let me finish my story.
Yes, you complained that I don't engage you enough.
Well, don't interrupt me.
keep going.
So we're chasing these guys all over, and they try to split up. So Jeff keeps going. I kick down an alley and, like, trap them. We take out the one guy, and then, like, the rest of us are all chased after that dude who said that to me earlier.
Yeah.
I knock him down, walk up to him, and go, "Hey, remember my name, bitch," and shot him in the head. It was great.
And that stuff's, again, that stuff's, like, cool. It's, like, wonder, like, how many of those moments there
that's,
are. Like,
that's the fear. It's, like...
You wonder if that really is as organic as it actually felt, or, like, eventually you do that 10 times.
Right. And, like I said, the Destiny beta has, like, kind of made me weary of this. Like,
right.
Like what more does
is
this
there,
have
like,
to offer?
Now, is it, like... I mean, like, the progression. Like, you have levels. Like, guns just, like, better. I mean...
Oh, yeah, you're leveling up.
I see you
up,
can't just, like, go into this dark zone as, like, a new player and be like, yeah, I'm gonna shoot people.
Well, the beta starts...
Does it get a little bit more... Is it a little bit more ridiculous still where it's, like, you're just, like, some guy in jeans, but you're, like, stronger? Like, your gun does a lot more damage than some other guy's gun?
Yeah, I mean...
It also shoots bullets.
You're getting better guns with better accuracy. I mean, like, the first gun they give you is fairly strong, but, like... You shoot it, it's like everywhere. Like Perry was complaining about this constantly.
Sure.
Like the enemies you face in the world, they're kind of bullet spongy, which is kind of a bummer too.
I heard about that.
Like Uncharted 1 bullet sponges, you know.
Which again, it's like it's always like a bit weirder when it's just like guy.
Right. Like it's like some guy, like some rider in the street with a bandana on. He could take a headshot. It's like what?
Yeah, it's like,
why? So yeah, like, I'm worried about, like, what do you do with this game after 10 hours? Like, is it even fun up to that point? Like, it was cool to play the beta. I don't know.
I'm kind of glad I didn't play the beta. But...
I'll tell you what, though. On the PC, when I ran it on ultra settings,
sure, it looked nice.
Very nice. Looked very nice.
I think this game's also kind of, like, when's it come out? Next month?
March 5th or something like that.
It's a good
yeah.
time for it to come out. It's going to come
out
that month
good,
to itself.
Good timing.
Huh?
I haven't decided if I'm going to get it yet or not. I honestly don't know.
Oh, really?
I don't
see, I kind of thought Chris sounded really into it. I thought you were more into it.
If everyone else ends up getting it, I'll probably get it too.
I thought you were more into it than what you're actually saying, honestly.
For me to get into it, everyone has to get it. Like,
yeah.
Like that's the rub.
That's, yeah.
Like, if you and Chris decide you're going to get it, I'll get it.
I might. Again, because it's March, like, what the hell else is going to be out?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure. We'll see. So
that's your thing too. I kind of wish I could get the PC version, but I know everyone
sorry.
Else is getting the Xbox one.
Nope.
So,
So new Smash Bros. Characters came out last night.
Bayonetta and Corrin?
Corrin, new Fire Emblem person from the game. So, well, first off, it's nice about Corrin. Like, it's not just another Marth, like, clone or, like, kind of clone. Mm-hmm. You know, like Ike's not a Marth clone, but, like, it's similar enough where it's almost like a...
It's a guy with a sword and medieval armor.
Right, right. No, Corrin feels very different. Like, he can, like, kind of turn into, like, this dragon thing sometimes.
Oh?
Not, like, a big one. Just, like,
a little dragon.
Right. But, no, his moveset's very interesting. Like, his neutral B is, like, he shoots out an orb that will stun people, which is kind of different. His side B is really interesting because he'll basically just jump and nothing will happen. He'll do a little, like, broop, spout, like a running hop. A hop is a good way of putting it. Then when you push it again, he, like, fires a lance kind of downward. And the lance could hurt somebody. But if you, like, time it right and the lance hits the ground, it will stick in it. Then if you push it again, you kind of launch yourself forward in an attack.
Oh,
so it's very kind of
fancy.
Yeah, it's very different.
Very intricate move.
Right, it's very different. But, yeah, other than that, he's just kind of fast. He has, like, he's just... pretty good, like, aerial stuff. Like, comeback's a little weaker. That seems like to be the downside. His counter is maybe the best in the game. Like,
yeah.
It's very fast. It's hard to punish. Like, he recovers from it quickly, and it will do a lot of knockback.
Hmm.
That's good. Bayonetta is very interesting. Like, a lot... very kind of like a different sort of character. It's like it's cool because she does kind of play at the game. Like, when you do your combos, you can hold down the button at any point. She'll just, like, shoot her guns, you know, from where she's... whatever she's doing. And, like, when you shoot your guns like that, it's almost like the Fox laser where there's no, like stun lock from it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the people can just kind of, it'll do damage, but, like, they can be charging at you and grab you. So you have to kind of know when to do that. The forward B and, like, up B are kind of similar. They kind of work together. So, like, forward, it's just like a dash forward attack. The up B is just like a dash up attack. If you can kind of, like, combo them and, like, do them multiple times, if you, like, get people caught up in them and then string them together with aerials, and, yeah, so it's, like...
Makes sense that you have a combo-based move.
Right, exactly. Her neutral B is just, like... It's more of, like, a... This is, like, the more powerful shooting thing where if you push B and she just... If you keep tapping, she'll just shoot forward. But it's not, like, a perfect line horizontal.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of angles upwards. So it's not, like, an awesome ranged move. Which and you can, like, charge it and it'll be stronger at first, stuff like that. Her down B is really good. It's the witch time, so it's a counter. Instead of hitting them, it just slows them down for a bit, and you can basically, like, hit them with, like, two smash attacks or something in this time.
Oh wow!
This is, like, really her primary way of killing people, because her smash attacks are good, but they're pretty slow, and she doesn't really have a lot of other kill moves except for, like, a back air, which is, like, all right. So really, when you want to kill people, you kind of, like, almost really want to counter them, get them caught in this, and then you can hit the smash attack much more easily. But yeah, she's cool. She's, like, she's definitely very different, which is kind of like, yeah, I like when the characters are, like...
I feel like,
yeah,
on the whole, like, the DLC characters have done a good job of being unique, like,
yeah,
like how Ryu plays and things,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, especially, yes, like the first, like, Mewtwo was just a return character, and then they brought out a Lucas and Roy, and yeah, that was just, like, fun. But yeah, like, all the completely new ones have done, yeah, they've done a very good job of, like, making them all feel very fresh. It is, I know, it's almost kind of sad that they're done. I mean, they did a good job.
I don't know why they have to be done. Like, keep going.
Well, I mean, now this is, like, becoming an official rumor, but, like, I've been saying it forever that there's no way they're not going to make a Smash Bros. For NX.
Do you think it's just going to be a port of this and it'll, like, include all the DLC?
I think it'll do that. I think it'll have, like, different single player modes. But yeah, it's not going to be, like, a completely new game.
No.
There's no reason to. Like, I wouldn't even want them to. Why? Like, you have this engine and this roster is good. And
well,
they just spent, like, a year and a half balancing it.
I don't know if you saw my tweet about this while you were gone, but they announced the official Evo lineup, and a third of the games are Nintendo games. It's,
yeah.
It's Melee, it's
Smash
4, and it's Pokken Tournament.
Pokken, interesting.
Yeah. But, like, there's
like
more Nintendo fighting games than Capcom.
That's kind of interesting.
They just have Street Fighter V. 4 isn't going to be there. That game ended up being kind of a wreck. Ever since they did that PS4 version, it kind of broke stuff. And
yeah,
the community very quickly turned a bad face on it.
Yeah,
but yeah, they have Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 and Street Fighter 5. And then
say some Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
I think, like, the new Tekken's there. And... what's the
Persona?
Guilty Gear XR?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Was Persona in there still?
No.
Mortal...
That's a PS Plus game this month.
Oh. Mortal Kombat X?
Mortal Kombat
X, probably, yeah. Yeah, there's always, like, some that, like, don't really stay along too long, and then you have, like, the classics that will just always be there. Is Third Strike gone now?
I think so, yeah. I didn't see it. Bad.
But yeah. It's funny how, like, the Melee competitive scene is still... There will always be those people who just won't move on from it just because it was so fast and, like, heavy. Like, the comboing was just very different and kind of satisfying in that. But I personally like 4's kind of balance better. Yeah. The problem with Melee is like, 5 characters you can maybe use. we also had, like, the last wave of balance patches. Not as much. I feel like they kind of basically got it where they want it. And it feels pretty good. It's like, it's at a point now where, like, when you're playing it with your friends, you can pick a character you like and, like, main them. And you'll get good enough that you can win.
Right, which is nice.
Exactly. There's no one that's, like, awful, really. It's not like last time where it's like, I couldn't even ever imagine, like, playing as, like, a Sonic or, like, a heavy character. Sonic's, like, second to top tier. He's like really high up right now.
I like Sonic. Yeah.
So yeah, but yeah, that's good.
Cool.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to the Explained World Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at evpodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Be sure to go to the iTunes Music Store. You can find out all of our old shows. And yeah, we'll see you next week right here at the Explained World Podcast.
Bye-bye.